Hello and welcome to another Arse Blog Arsecast on arseblog.com in association with oleole.com and also in association with my increasingly creaky chair. See? It's the creakiest chair known to man. I should oil it, but, you know, I'd probably get oil all over my pants then. And it's not the seat necessarily, that's the squeaky bit. Yeah, but why would you oil the seat? I don't know. Anyway, it's another week over, and that means that we're another week closer to the new football season. I don't know about you, but I'm missing the football, even though, for some strange reason, Arseblog is busier in the summer than it is when we actually have games. There are more visitors, more comments, more people giving out to me and things. Probably it's people just desperate for news and looking for information wherever they can get it, clicking refresh time and time and time again. Or it could be down to the fact that the blogs are so amazingly awesome, full of information that you can't get elsewhere and exclusives that others only... I don't know. It's just strange. It would be nice to get some real football back, though, because I do miss the Arsenal. We did, yesterday, get the fixtures for next season, which are quite interesting. I think August is a good chance for us to get off to a good start with a home game against Fulham, an away game against Blackburn Rovers, and also a home game against Manchester City. Also in August, we've got two UEFA Champions League qualifying games, of course, to get through to the group stages. So you would have to think that after what happened last year, that 9 points out of nine would be the target for that, because we just can't let what happened last year happen again, because we'll just find ourselves out of the title race before the end of the first month of the season, or at least putting ourselves in an incredibly difficult position. So you would think Fulham at home, yeah, that's a game we can win. Blackburn away, tough one, but we won it last year with 10 men. And also Manchester City at home, yeah, that's a game we should be winning. So 9 points and 14 goals in each game. And in the UEFA Champions League qualifier, I expect us to win both legs about 7-0. And that will inspire us. That will give us the confidence to go on for the rest of the season unbeaten. And in fact, we will go without conceding a goal until the second week in January, when Birmingham City will score an own goal off William Gallas's penis, who will have defected to the dark side by then. Anyway, enough of the waffle. Coming up on today's Arsecast, we've got a man in the bar player history for you. As well as that, I'll be discussing very shortly Thierry Henry, who's been making all the headlines this week. We'll be talking about what he said, what he hasn't said, what he needs to say, perhaps, and basically the whole situation surrounding Thierry Henry, which to my mind is rather different than it was even this time last week. Things have taken a bit of a change, if you ask me. We all know the lure of going to play for somewhere like Barcelona. It's a big club with a massive reputation, an amazing city. I should know. I drank there for 5 years. A great stadium in which to watch football, although not necessarily the most atmospheric place you would ever watch football. I've gone to games there where it hasn't necessarily been any more than two-thirds full, and they're a quiet bunch, unless, of course, something good happens, in which case they cheer, and if something bad happens, they unite in animosity towards whoever that might be, whether it's Luis Figo, or whether it's a referee, or whether it's any other opposition player. They do tend to, you know, join in unison and give out about them. But in general, in terms of just atmosphere and singing, it leaves a little bit to be desired. And it, you know, it's probably one of those things that we have to put up with now that we are a more high-profile club than we were. And we've had some incredible players over the last few years. Your Bergkamps, Vieiras, Henrys, who are top class players. And it's just natural, I suppose, that the biggest clubs in the world will try and buy them. And you see these deals happening all the time between Juventus and Milan, Juventus Real Madrid, between even Madrid and Barcelona. Big transfers of big players happen all the time. And maybe that's just something that we have to put up with. But it's not necessarily a new phenomenon. Nowadays, you know, after a season has ended, the club releases an end-of-season DVD in which you can watch all the games. You get commentary and stuff like that, and all kinds of extras and things like that. But back in the day, back in the day, Arsenal released, after every season, an end of season 78. And I've got one here from 1947, 1948, I think it was. And it's a journalist called Cuthbert St. John Jemison III talking about an episode in which an Arsenal captain was being lured abroad by a foreign club. Have a listen.
Ah, yes, I remember very well. Alfred Constable, who was captain of Arsenal from 1909 until 1921, a marvellous career he had at the club, you see. And I remember, I think it was in about 1914, he was offered 42,000 Earl pounds a year, which in these days, I suppose, would be the equivalent of 400 billion pounds, to go and play for Real Madrid in Spain. You see, at that time, the Spanish language hadn't quite evolved to the level it's at now, and Real Madrid was simply known as Blokes in White. Similarly, Barcelona were known as Blokes in Red and Blue, and Valencia were called the Other Blokes in White, which did cause some confusion throughout the Iberian Peninsula. Hence, many of the teams there wearing stripes. For example, Betis were called the Blokes in Green and White Stripes, you see. Of course, he turned them down, being very loyal to Arsenal Football Club. He knew exactly which side his bread was buttered on, you see. He knew money wasn't everything, and serving Arsenal and being part of the community was far more important to him than money or fame or indeed all the sexy Spanish broads he could, you know, put up against a wall and shag senseless. It reflects, I think, very well on the way football was at that time.
Well, those were certainly days to long for, weren't they? When football was played by gentlemen, loyalty was inbuilt. It wasn't something you had to buy with big contracts or the captaincy. We can only look back wistfully and with nostalgia on days like that. Sorry, I was looking back. Anyway, as we all know, the story about Thierry Henry and Barcelona and where he's going to play next season is what's dominating the headlines and the Arsenal blogosphere this week. With me now to discuss what's going on is the man from East Lore. Hello to you, sir.
Hello.
Have you got a beer?
A beard?
A beer.
Oh, yeah, no, I do, yeah. I've got a Peroni.
A Peroni. Okay, and I've got Czech lager, so we're both in beer country, as it were.
Proper Europeans.
Absolutely. I suppose we should talk about Thierry Henry, because his comments this week, while open to interpretation, for example, the comment that he made where he said it could be the same this year. Some people have taken that to mean that it could be the same, that lots of clubs are after him, or it could be the same that he might stay. But there is a huge amount of ambiguity over his situation at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah, there is a lot. And, it seems pretty obvious that he's doing it on purpose. So, it's a bit like if you're at work and your boss said to you, are you happy? Are you staying? And you sort of said, well, I'm employed here at the moment. Nothing's changing. I'll let you know if it does. It just doesn't sound good, does it?
No. Do we need to maybe look into why that situation is like that? Because if we go back 12 months, not long after the Champions League final, Thierry Henry says, if I can just scroll up here, he says, I always refer to Arsenal as my home. I've been welcomed with open arms. The love I receive here, sometimes from non-Arsenal fans, is something I can't forget about. I've never played in Spain and never will. This is my last contract. That's fairly definitive. So when you compare that to what's gone on this week, there is a marked difference.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, that is pretty definitive, but things do change, and it changes. Things change not just in football, but in life. And I don't particularly want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but clearly there has been a lot of stuff behind the scenes with the whole Dean thing, which he doesn't like. And he had a pretty bad season. He wasn't fit. He was pretty unhappy, you could tell at times. He was really frustrated with himself. Maybe he's changed. He clearly looks like he probably has changed his mind. So these things happen. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if I think most Arsenal fans can accept if he turns around and says, "Look, I just need a new challenge. I really do. I've loved it here. Blah blah blah." We'd all say, "Okay, well, that's just the way things work, isn't it, in football?" But you know, he's just being a bit of an, oh, I don't know, he's being a bit childish about it, I think.
Yeah. Do you think he's trying to put the club in a position where they sell him, so he doesn't have to come out and say, "Look, I want to leave"?
I think so. Yeah. I think ultimately he still has a lot of respect for the Arsenal fans, and I think he doesn't want to leave under a cloud like some players have. So yeah, I suspect that's probably happening. But like you said, he probably has got loads of people talking for him at the moment, and it's just a bit of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, the France Football article, which appeared during the week, which I think we can safely assume was commissioned by FC Barcelona in order to kind of knock this thing on a little bit, because everybody sort of reads the stuff in El Mundo and Sport and the Spanish papers, and they go, yeah, we've seen this before. But France Football is a fairly well-respected journal. And you have Jerome Anderson then saying, look, I'm going to take legal action against France Football. Do we think that legal action is going to take place, or will it be the sort of legal action that Sam Allardyce took against the BBC after that Panorama programme?
I don't think anything will happen. I don't really know why they do it, but it seems to me that Henry, he's not going to be swayed by a couple of newspaper reports, because it's pretty transparent how Barcelona go around their business. So I think if he's going to go, he's made his mind up, and it doesn't really matter if there's loads of newspaper reports, however false or however true they are. I think he's probably made his mind up one way or another already, and he just needs to tell us, really, doesn't he? Or tell his club, even.
Sure. Do you think, I mean, you mentioned the Dean thing, and I have this theory, and it is only a theory, I should say, in that he obviously is very close to the Dean family. Darren Dean was his best man and his best friend, and they, you know, play marbles and stuff together at the weekends. David Dean left Arsenal for the reasons that we all know, but probably has been involved in some PR exercises, will we say. Is it beyond the realms of possibility that Thierry is getting it, not in the ear, but he's got this side of the story being put to him all the time, that unless Dean and Kroenke come in, then Arsenal will never have the money to buy the players that they need to win the league, to win the Champions League, etc., etc. And that has allowed him, let's say, to become a little bit more detached from Arsenal Football Club, in that he sees Arsenal Football Club as Arsene Wenger and David Dean, for example, whereas he doesn't see the current board as Arsenal Football Club, in so much as he can now behave in a way that he would never have done were Dean still part of things. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It's not beyond the realms of possibility, but it is at the moment, certainly from my point of view, it's conjecture, really. We don't know. We don't know whether there is a PR sort of mission going on from the Deans. That it would, who knows? I mean, so much stuff happens in football. It could be happening. But I certainly think that he probably, if there was a side to take, he'd take the side of the Deans. It seems quite clear. And what we don't know is how much of a battle is going on sort of between the current board and Dean in one way or another still. So, I mean, it's all possible, isn't it? But I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, no, it's possible. I think, to be honest, we probably, it's like a tip of the iceberg. We probably only know a little bit about what's going on, but I wouldn't say it was impossible.
No. Okay, well, let's throw something else out there, that Thierry Henry wants to go to Barcelona. Is it not, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, Arsene Wenger, number one, he has to replace Thierry Henry and his ability on the pitch. He has to try, at very least, to include Eto'o as part of the deal, doesn't he? Because let's say Arsenal do hold the cards. Thierry has three years left on his contract. If we don't want him to go anywhere, then, you know, we can just choose not to sell him. So if he really does want to go and Arsene is prepared to let him leave, Eto'o as part of the deal would soften the blow in some way, wouldn't it?
Totally, yeah. I mean, there aren't many. There's a lot of clubs, especially in England, with a lot of money at the moment, and they're all desperately trying to get a striker who'll score them 20, 25 goals. I mean, the fact that Spurs and West Ham are haggling over £18 million for Bent is absolutely staggering. So
that's amazing.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And £75,000 a week, apparently.
What?
That's what I read. So it's unbelievable that that Wenger wouldn't, if Henry was going to go, of course he'd try and get Eto'o in return. It would make absolute sense because there aren't that many decent strikers around who he can get his hands on, in all honesty. So, God, yeah, he's got to give it a go and try his absolute hardest. Yeah, if that's the case.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, I think certainly that would soften the blow. Even though Eto'o would be off to the African Cup of Nations with Adebayor, probably, which would leave us a bit short.
Yeah, it's true. But if someone said to all the top clubs in England, if you could have one striker from Europe, who would you have? They'd all say Eto'o at the moment. So, God, yeah, you've got if you're losing Henri, who is a massive player to lose. In terms of the amount of goals he can score and the kind of things he can do, then I suppose Eto'o would be a good replacement.
Okay. All right, then. I'm going to ask you to put your money where your mouth is. Well, not money, but I mean, if you now had to predict what was going to happen, what would you say?
Well, last season, when there was a lot of conjecture about Henry going, he came out 2 days after the Champions League final and said he was staying. I think it was 2 days. If it wasn't 2 days, it wasn't much longer than that. And, it didn't take much to change his mind, put it that way. This time round, it's lasted six weeks already. And he's not, everything he says is completely ambiguous. So I just think it's probably quite likely. But who knows?
Okay.
I think it's more possible than it was last year, put it that way.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. New shirts. What do you make of the white kit?
You're going to shoot me for saying it, but I don't actually mind it. Yes, it's Spurs, but do you know, it's not a bad shirt. It looks all right. It's a lot better than some of the crap we've churned out in the past.
Yeah, even the green and blue.
The green and blue is a bit of an odd one, isn't it? What I think is a bit of a piss take is them launching a shirt, if it's true, just for European games. I mean, there's money making and there's money making. It's completely unnecessary, but I don't know.
Is it a coincidence that, we've got one shirt in Real Madrid colours and the other shirt in Barcelona colours?
I think it was done on purpose. I think we're going to become a feeder club.
Yeah.
It's definitely going to happen.
I like the idea of that. We can just bring in these players, make them great, and then they can fuck off to Spain when they feel like it.
It worked quite well before. we sold Anelka to Real Madrid for £23 million. That kept us going for years, so it's quite a good deal.
It's a business at the end of the day, isn't it?
Indeed. Oh. And how much did we get for Overmars from Barcelona?
£25 million as well. Well, that was Overmars, and Petit was sort of tagged on to the end of it, wasn't he?
That's a pretty good deal too. I mean, there's some money to be made there.
Yeah. So do you? Yeah, Thierry Henry for Eto'o, or Eto'o and a couple of quid, maybe 350, 450.
Yeah, £3 or £4, I reckon, on top.
Excellent.
Just enough for a sort of easy jet flight. I don't know. I think I wouldn't be. Obviously, I would be upset if Henry left because he's such a hard player to replace. But if he's unhappy, he's unhappy, and unhappy players are not good to have in your team. It's the end of the. That's really all you can say, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I just, whatever happens, I suppose it'd be a big shame if it got bitter, wouldn't it?
I don't think it will get bitter, because even if you remember when Vieira left, it was a couple of seasons when he was quite tempted to go, and then when he was finally sold, he had a great reception when he came back. I think Henri, he will say the right thing, and let's face it, even if he does kind of is being a bit odd about it at the moment, he has scored have so many goals for us and been such a good player that I think it would be a bit churlish to boo him if he came back.
Yeah, I mean, I think the old cliche about, when players say, oh, I love it, but you never know what can happen in football. It might be a cliche, but it's probably the most true of them all, isn't it?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
All right. Okay, well, listen, man from East Lower, I'll leave you to your beer.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon.
And I'll leave you to yours.
Thanks very much.
All right, then.
Cheers.
See ya.
Bye. And my thanks to the man from East Lower for taking time out from his busy beer drinking schedule to talk to me last night about Thierry Henry. What's going to happen? We don't know. There was a story in L'Equipe which said that Arsene Wenger was in Paris talking to Barcelona about Thierry Henry, and I believe that is true. Quite whether Arsene can get the deal that he wants, or the deal that would benefit Arsenal Football Club, or the deal which would allow Thierry Henry to leave, because you can't let Henry leave and not replace him with proper quality. I think that any deal, as I said, you know, on the Arscast a few weeks ago and on the blog, if Thierry Henry moves to Barcelona, the only way it'll happen is if we get Eto'o as part of the deal. Now, it might mean us actually paying some money for Eto'o, but I think that would soften the blow considerably. And I have to say that the prospect of him leaving this summer doesn't upset me nearly as much as it would have done last summer. Maybe it's because we've had a season more or less without him. Maybe it's because he's a year older, or he's got sciatica, or maybe I'm just a more philosophical person these days. But, you know, certainly this summer there's been a lot more to it, a lot more smoke, and where there's smoke, there's fire, and often burn victims, and victims of inhalation lying on the ground, crawling towards the exits. There are also people who get singed, sort of on the eyebrows, or perhaps if they have a mustache, they get that singe, and you get that horrible burning hair smell. Anyway, we will have loads of time to talk about what happens with Thierry. I think if something happens, it's going to happen quickly. It's not one of those things that's going to drag on for the rest of the summer and bite us in the arse in August. So we'll wait and see before we make some further comment. Moving away from Thierry Henry, now we'll go to the man in the bar who's got another player history.
Hello and welcome to another player history with me, the man in the bar. Today I'm telling you about a fella called Maurice Volz. He comes all the way from Germany. And his father, you might know him, he invented the Volkswagen all those years ago for Hitler. Hitler said, "Give us an old car there, Mr. Volz." And he said, "Here's the Volkswagen." I'm going, yeah. He was outdone by a fella called Volks, you see, but that's beside the point. Moritz grew up in Germany and he hadn't an ounce of football talent at all, you see, until one day he went walking through the woods on his way to school. His normal way, he go down the path and down the little lane there beside the big tree, and once upon a time a man slash goat came out, a goat man or a man goat. His name was not Billy, because that's just too obvious. He came out of the woods and he said, "You there, what's your name?" And Ting said, "Moritz, what's your name?" And he said, "My name is Graham." And he said, "Well, it's very nice to meet you, Graham." And he said, "Likewise, Moritz." And they went on an adventure, because there was a waterfall, you see. And behind the waterfall, they found an enchanted door, which they opened with a magical key. Inside they went and they were transported to another land where all sorts of things were going on. People had boxes for heads, there were red bags floating everywhere, and there was a mattress where there should have been the ground. Anyway, inside there they had to rescue a princess called Hilda, you see, who was Graham's brother's wife and had gone missing many years before, as she was buying some chocolate syrup for a soda stream that she found in her attic. They had to battle all kinds of trolls and pixies and gypsies and all kinds of things, but in the end they managed to take her out of this terrible, terrible land, which was known as Luxembourg. And they brought her back to the forest and everybody lived happily ever after. But as you might expect from a man-goat-goat-man thing, Graham had magical powers. And he said to Moritz, "Moritz, what would you like as a reward for all your hard work in helping me solve this problem?" And he said, "Deutschmarks? No. Boris Becker's autograph? No. A signed picture of David Hasselhoff? Perhaps. But I would like," Graham, he said, "footballing ability." And he gave it to him in spades. And he ended up at Arsenal. And nowadays, he plays for Fulham, which, when it's spelled backwards, is the equivalent of the German word for magical forest full of strange and enchanted people. Coincidence? I think not.
The man in the bar will be back on next week's Arscast with another player history, and hopefully next week he won't have been smoking as much of the funny stuff as he appeared to have been smoking this week. And, you know, eating as many of the mushrooms as he appeared to have been eating, and drinking all the whiskey he appeared to have been drinking, and, you know, just staying away generally from the hallucinogens. He has been warned about this in the past, you see. He's got a police record, but we won't go into it. Unless he does it again, I'll tell you the whole filthy story, and it is filthy. You know, imagine the filthiest story you could think of, and it's filthier than that. Sorry, I was just imagining a filthy story there and got a bit carried away with myself. The other kit that we released, this kind of blue and red thing, yeah, that's our third kit that we might use in Europe if somebody wears red and if somebody also wears white or, you know, for some reason. And I think I'm told by the marketing department at Arsenal that if the worst comes to the worst, we do have a fourth kit, which is a white shirt, like a shirt, you know, with collars and cuffs and things, with a sort of a gingham smock over it, and a knee-length kilt with ankle socks and Doc Martin boots, with studded Doc Martin boots, of course, for playing football. That's if the worst comes to the worst. That should be available in shops by the end of the summer. Other transfer news this week? Hasn't really been a great deal, has there? All the transfer news is apparently to keep Thierry Henry happy, and it seems the only thing that will keep Thierry happy is a walk down the Ramblas and some tortilla. But Ryan Babel, is it Babel or Babel? How do you pronounce that? Anyone? Obviously no one. Okay, well, Ryan Babel, I'll call him, because Babel sounds better than Babel, because Babel sounds like table, and tables just can't play football. I'm not quite sure where this whole thing is going. But anyway, he says it would be his dream to play for Arsene Wenger. Some people have him down as a left-sided midfielder. Some people have him down as a striker. I don't know enough about the boy, but I believe he's quite talented indeed. He could be a signing. £6 million, apparently, out of our £40 million war chest that Keith Edelman was going on about. Anyway, look, it's going to be a busy weekend, I think, particularly because the Spanish League is coming to an end. And then anything in terms of transfers can happen. I don't think there'll be too many distractions and stories coming from Spain. I could be wrong. You know what the Spanish press are like. They don't seem to care about things like that. But Barcelona have to win on Sunday and hope that Real Madrid slip up at home against Mallorca. And now, I'm no fan of Real Madrid, but I kind of want them to win the league. You see, because this will spark another downturn in the fortunes of Barcelona. You remember, Barcelona were a big, big club when we sold them Overmars and Petit, as we mentioned earlier with the man from East Lower. But after we sold them, and it's believed a gypsy curse was sold to Barcelona with Overmars and Petit. It was put into Petit's suitcase. He had a particularly unhappy time because, the curse, you see, it infected him. On the flight over, and it all went terribly wrong. So can you imagine if we sold Barcelona Thierry Henry and they didn't win anything for another 3 years? That'd be terrible. Oh, God, that'd be awful. I really wouldn't want that to happen at all. until next week's Arsecast. Have yourselves a very good weekend. Let's hope that whatever happens, happens quickly, and we can talk about it on the blog during the weekend and all next week, of course. So, bye.